Coming up on today's show, Disney announces the premier Lightning Lane Pass. Universal has announced when Epic Universe is going to open. That and other news today on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 471 of Traveling with the Mouse. I am your host for this week. My name is John. I am joined, as always, by my faithful co-host, Adam.
What's up, everyone? That's me.
How's it going, Adam?
It is going, as they say.
It's been another week.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like they always announce stuff, like, right after we post an episode.
That's always the way it goes.
It doesn't matter what day we choose to do this. It's always right after.
And it's always like an avalanche of news. It's not like one little thing. It's like, here's 50 things that we've been holding back.
Yeah, or it's been like one big thing or a couple of big things.
Yeah. So there's definitely a lot to catch up on now.
Yeah. So let's see. Did we talk last week about Rise of the Resistance single rider utilizing the full pre-show? I think we did.
We touched on it. We did. Yeah. We talked about it, which I think that's, I mean, they're trying to find the right balance, I guess, there. You have to have balance in the Force. So,
right.
Sorry.
That's when it works best, right?
Yeah. It was weird to walk straight into the Star Destroyer, obviously, so I think
yeah,
it makes sense to at least pre-show.
Right.
Here.
So one I think that broke like right after we wrapped up the episode last week was Big Thunder Mountain closing for multi-year refurbishment.
Or for at least a year.
Yeah, possibly. I guess they say multi-year because it's going to be all of 2025 for sure. And then 2026 is the earliest opening date, right?
Yeah.
And it says it will reopen with new magic.
Well, I assume that means the finale that Disneyland and so many others have with the dynamite scene. That would be my guess.
Well, it shouldn't take over a year to do that, so obviously that's not the reason.
Rumor has it they're going to redo the entire track. We had talked about that a long time ago, that they was going to get a big refurb, so this finally came true. I think also it might have something to do with the new attraction that's going to be coming, you know, the Rivers of America going away.
Yeah, right, so it's twofold. If they take, you know, Big Thunder down for refurbishment while they're doing all the other, because Big Thunder does go right up to the Rivers of America, which makes you wonder, are they going to keep some of the river? Or is all of the river going?
That one section that kind of goes right out over the river there, which is one of the best parts of the Disney World version, because Disneyland's doesn't have that. I'm trying to think if Tokyo's does, or Paris obviously goes.
Paris does. It like dips in the water.
It kind of goes to what Tom Sawyer Island would be there, but
yeah, it's all an island.
Yeah, it's just kind of fun, but yeah, that cool little dip is probably cooler than the Disney World one, but that's one of the coolest parts, is when you're going right up against the river there, especially if the riverboat's coming by at the same time you're riding Big Thunder. That's kind of a cool little moment, which you obviously won't get anymore, so hopefully they treat that area with something cool about it that you get to see or do while you're there. You know what, though, I will say, now that we're talking about Big Thunder and possibly some changes to it,
uh-huh,
I'd say that last lift hill is probably the most boring section of the ride, aside from that helix that goes right by the river. Because literally you go up the hill, you kind of go out, you go down, you go by the river, you go back up, and it's kind of like, okay. And then you're down by the little dinosaur, and that's it. It's not really that thrilling of a section, would you say, out of the three?
I never really thought about it. I've always thought the best part was the one where the helix that goes pretty deep, almost like you go around
section
in a circle.
Two. That's like the second lift.
It's like that was always the best part.
That's the most thrilling part, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the most G's you probably get on that coaster. The most positive ones, right? Isn't it positive, or is it
where you feel pushed down?
Is positive down or is negative down? I'm trying to remember.
Negative is the
light. Negative is airtime. Yeah, that's right. Okay, excuse me. Positive G is this, what I meant.
Yeah, where you're being pushed down. To me, though, Disney World doesn't have the dynamite scene. And then that section is pretty, there's not much to it. The last section. You see a few things, but it's not like that exciting. So I hope they maybe make that section a little bit more exciting.
Well, I think they're just taking time to do a little heavier refurb to it because they were going to do the other work.
Yeah. I think it's best to do it. But if they are going to redo the track, maybe they can change the layout slightly. That's what I'm hoping for. But
so if you want to get a ride in on Thunder before it goes down, you need to do it soon.
Yeah, before January 6th. January 5th will be the final day.
Yes.
For so a long
you need, need to do it quickly.
Yeah.
Quickly.
And
quickly.
It has been going down a lot from what I understand. They've had some trouble with it. So
you may want to try to do it even sooner because you don't want to wait on that last day and then go down like the Country Bears did that time.
Yeah. But it's not like drastic changes. So are people going to be like lining up for the whole day? They probably will.
Yes, they will, because that's just the way we do things nowadays.
I guess.
It'll be an event. The thing is, it'll be a long drought without being able to do Thunder Mountain. So that alone will be a reason for people to...
All of 2025.
For it to have a wait.
Who knows how much of 2026, too.
Right. You know, like when the People Mover was down for that, how long was that? I mean...
You mean for COVID?
Was it for COVID?
Well, it went down... And it was like one of the last things to come back up.
So when it like finally did, when it finally emerged, though, there was, it had a line.
Well, yeah. But it wasn't like there was a date that it closed and people waited all day to ride it.
I think going over a year, almost 2 years, we'll say. Let's say a year and a half without Thunder will be enough for people to line up for.
Yeah, I'm probably, you know. Does this give... an indication of that project, too. They haven't announced yet that Rivers of America and Tom Sawyer are closing the same time frame, but I imagine it's got to have something to do with that as well.
Yeah, it should be not long after.
I would expect this to be announced shortly thereafter, Big Thunder's.
If you want to see Tom Sawyer Island and the riverboat, it's probably best to do it before the year is out, just to be on the safe side.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, yep.
Anyway.
All right. So we have also a breaking phased closure that came out. Dinoland USA.
Yeah.
Which is January the 13th is the final day for things like Triceratops Inn and Fossil Fun Games, Chester Wolfers.
How many people are going to be lined up to do Triceratops Spin on the final day?
You never know.
Does it have a big following where it'll be like...
Maybe it has an underground following.
4-hour waits for this on January 12th.
I kind of doubt that. But I know that me personally, I would not make a special trip just for Triceratops Spin because it already made the least amount of sense out of all the spinners anyway. I always made that point.
Yes.
So,
and I think that's the point of it, is to be, you know, silly because of, that's basically the theme of the whole area is cheesy.
Yeah, but it still made no sense.
Right. It should be, what, pterodactyl spin?
Yeah, at least. Something that actually flew, even if it was mythical.
Yeah.
So.
A bird, a stork.
Yeah. But the only things that'll stay open are dinosaur, of course. The Boneyard. Right. So that'll still be there. And Restaurantosaurus, Dinobite snacks, trilobites have not announced a closure date either. So you'll have, you know, a very small bit, we'll say, section. Basically everything over there in the dinosaur area almost.
Yeah, just
except for the Boneyard. It wasn't that close. It was actually close to the entrance. So I guess they're focusing probably, it sounds like they're focusing more on making sure they get the casita built and functional. Doesn't that sound like it?
Yeah, because they can close that whole area off, and you can still walk between, you know, Discovery Island and Asia and get to, what is it, the Nemo Theater, probably?
Yeah.
Because there's that pathway that goes behind all that, so they'll just close that section off and wall it off. You probably won't even get even be able to see much of the construction because it's so tucked away. So, yeah, no one's going to miss this. So
No one's going to miss this.
They could have done
this
already.
It's not going to be as missed as some other things, that's for sure.
Right. I'm like, why haven't you disclosed this already? Because nobody cares.
And one that I mentioned, you know, in our little chat earlier that I think kind of points to Monsters, Inc. not going in Animation Courtyard is the fact that The Little Mermaid, A Musical Adventure, has been delayed to a summer 2025 opening, but it is still on the docket. And I find it hard to believe you put a brand new show there and Monsters, Inc.
Well, the only thing I can think of is, didn't they say that there were construction permits filed for new signage, right? The new...
Right, the new marquee for The Little Mermaid, though.
Right, which I'm wondering, they could move that marquee over to the side closer to One Man's Dream and change the entrance.
It's possible. You think that would cover it?
But you would think if it's Monsters, Inc. is going to go there, that they would utilize that theater for something, the restaurant or gift shop or something. But maybe they just theme the other side of it to Monsters, Inc. and move the entrance over to the One Man's Dream side.
I don't know. I think this is a sign that it's not going here. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised with anything.
It's possible. They still haven't said for sure. Again, go see Muppets and eat at Pizza Rizzo before the end of the year if you can, because we just don't know yet.
All that stuff.
It's got to be one of those two places, most likely.
All right. So, in, what shall we say, non-Disney news. We did get the news. We did get the news that Epic Universe
is
going to be open May 22nd.
Yeah, 2025, which pre-Memorial Day, which is interesting.
Yeah. So it kind of makes sense.
It's basically right before Memorial Day, right? Because...
Yeah, it's like the... Yeah, literally right before.
A few days before.
Actually, isn't that the same weekend this year? Or this coming year, I should say.
It's a Thursday, May 22nd.
Right, and that following Monday is Memorial Day. So they're opening it right before that Memorial Day weekend. Might as well say it's Memorial Day weekend opening, pretty much.
It's almost like, you know, movie premieres back in the day, which...
That would happen on a Thursday?
Well, no, to get the, like, May release was, like, the start of summer. Like, they always tried to be...
Yeah, somewhere around that time.
So it'll be interesting. I would say, if you want to go to Disney, you're not a fan of Universal or none of this interests you, perhaps. I think
this might be the year.
Would be the cheapest and less crowded you're going to see Disney World. Because I can
You should say that.
Well, yeah, Disney's probably assuming that people are going to do a split stay still and show up at Disney. But I don't know. I have a feeling because of how much both of these cost, people are going to have to choose, right? I think.
Maybe. It depends. If they're not staying in one of the hotels for either, it's a lot less expensive.
That too. But ticket prices, as we'll talk about, stuff like that too, is and add-ons are so expensive.
They have package details. They actually, some of these sound pretty good. They have a variety of multi-day tickets and vacation packages that include 3, 4, or 5 days of admission to Universal's theme parks, but including only 1 day admission to Epic Universe out of this.
Makes sense, because they know it's going to be the most visited.
Right. So, I mean, you basically, whichever day package you choose, you can only go to Epic Universe one of those days. The other two parks are pretty much, you know, you can go as much as you want.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good too.
Yeah. It's smart that they're doing that.
Yeah. So reservations for the Universal Helios Grand Hotel will open on Tuesday, October the 22nd for stays beginning May 22nd in 2025. So that's the hotel that's right there at the entrance, I believe. Of Epic Universe.
The new park.
Annual pass holders have the exclusive opportunity to purchase single-day tickets to Epic Universe before they go on sale to the general public, and pass holders can take advantage of this prior opportunity beginning Thursday, October the 24th. So if you're doing the reservations for the hotel, surely you're able to get in the package so you can get that 2 days earlier, it sounds like, I would think.
Yeah.
But maybe I'm reading that wrong. The three-day ticket that I was talking about, just to quickly go over this, adult ticket starting from $118 to $174 per day. Not too bad, truthfully. Four-day ticket, enjoy 3 days of access to Florida, so Universal Studios Florida, Islands of Adventure, and then 1 day to Epic Universe. Basically, that's the way it is with all the tickets. It didn't really give the price on that. They don't say what the price is in the package. It says guests can save up to $200 by bundling a two-night or longer stay at a Universal hotel with one of the multi-day ticket options above, the ones that I just mentioned. So you have basically like the create-your-own package. They have one called 2025 Explorer Ticket, inclusive of a single day at Universal Epic only, whatever that means. Now, that one's only available in the UK and Latin America, because that's for a 14-day stay.
Oh, yeah. Right, because they tend to do those longer trips, makes sense.
Which we'll circle back, I think, to this in just a minute when we talk about the Premier Pass, but I don't want to get there just yet.
Right.
Because we had a couple of other things. The Candlelight Processional, you had the list there of those. You want to go through that right quick?
Yeah. So as always, the Candlelight Processional at Epcot will be from basically right after Thanksgiving until the new year almost. Plenty of returning favorites, starting with Josh Gad on November 29th and 30th. So I'll be there those dates. So I'm like already thinking, I'd like to see Josh Gad probably. Nico Santos is new. I had to look him up because I wasn't sure.
Santos?
Yeah.
For anybody that gets that
Santos.
Reference.
He's an actor. He's in the show Superstore.
Superstore.
He's in the movie Crazy Rich Asians. He's in one of the Guardians movies.
That?
Let's see. He's in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
What role did he play? I don't remember.
Either. I have to look him up.
Okay. All right.
I don't know what role. Anyway, so I'm going too slow. Sorry.
Too slow.
Let's see. Skipping around. Whoopi Goldberg. Brendan Fraser.
The Brendan Fraser.
December 11th and 12th. He first did it last year, right? I think it was last year. It was his first year.
Yeah, and he's resurfaced, hasn't he? I mean, I've seen him advertised for a movie here.
Yeah, he's having a comeback for sure. And he was arguably one of the most popular ones last year. Gary Sinise, December 15th and 16th. Yeah. And of course, NPH, December 17th and 18th. That's a little later than he usually does. So it's interesting. He'll be Disney closer to Christmas this year. Pat Sajak right after that. Gloria Stefan, she always does it as well. Edward James Olmos, he gets to do Christmas Day, even Christmas Day. Sterling K. Brown right after that. And of course, rounding off with Jodie Benson right at the end of December 29th and 30th. So right before New Year's.
Ariel.
Yeah. So
Ariel.
Another favorite. Great. So a lot of returning favorites, a couple of new folks, but Tydus Burgess.
Where do I know that from?
He's in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt is where I'd seen him, but I'm trying to think of. He's been on some many different things. He has a very recognizable voice, I'll put it that way.
Okay.
But anyway, so he's new.
It'd be kind of cool if they could get somebody to read that like a Jeremy Irons.
All right. Well, you have like Gary Sinise has kind of a cool voice, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But it would be neat to hear Scar do the Cadillac Social.
True. I wonder if he's ever done it. You think he's ever done it?
I don't know. He just has that voice. It was, I've mentioned it before. He's my personal favorite narration of Spaceship Earth. So,
yeah. And of course, I must mention the dining packages go on sale or go whatever. Book availability starts October 29th.
Okay.
For any of the dates, you can get, say, Garden Grill, Le Cellier. It says 15 different places. But anyway, so if you want guaranteed seating, probably the best way to do it is book one of the restaurants. But of course, they have a special prefix menu for that, so you have to pay
of course
You have to pay more, but you get guaranteed seating, so.
Right. Anyway. So also, Disney has invested $3 million in cast member and community assistance following the hurricane.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't know if you saw that. That's good to know.
Yes.
So the announcement was that with Hurricane Milton now behind us, we hope that you all made it through the storm safely. We know it was a very challenging event and realize that many of our fellow Floridians are facing difficult circumstances as a result. It's touching to see so many residents, local business, and nonprofits stepping up to provide relief to those who need it. We're especially thankful to our cast members who helped keep our guests and each safe during the storm and continue to support our community. Like all of you, we're dedicated to helping Florida move forward. Disney is investing $3 million that will be used to assist cast members, the local community, and nonprofits in aiding recovery efforts. This is in addition to the thousands of meals delivered to Second Harvest Food Bank and Osceola Council on Aging, as well as donations we made ahead of hurricane season to help Florida nonprofits stock up with supplies that could be used in storm shelters like blankets, sheets, pillows, and hygiene products. So,
okay.
So anybody that maybe wondered what kind of role that Disney played in the hurricane relief, that they do. They even do things ahead of time because they know that there's a good possibility of one happening in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
The Disney Employee Relief Fund has also been activated to assist any Disney employee whose primary home was impacted by the storm. So, I mean, they provide a plethora of services regarding that. So,
cool.
So, right before doing the bigger news, real quick, there's a limited time annual pass holder 25% discount announced for Disney Store holiday merchandise.
Yeah, I saw that.
Was that something that you would participate in? Really, I don't...
Possibly.
Every time I look at the Disney Store lately, I feel like there's not very much that I find that's all that appealing.
Not a lot. But I do need a new pair of... Or for myself. A new Santa hat, Mickey ears thing.
Gotcha.
But of course... It's like $35.
And, well, it's a very short window, by the way. It's now through, or recently, I should say, through the 28th. So it's a pretty short window.
Right. Right before you have to book that dining package, Candlelight Procession.
I guess.
Yeah. That's what you have to do.
I think I did. You have to do a promo code, apparently. It's called WDW25.
Oh, gosh. No, no. I just saw something that I would get, but then I realized how expensive it is. I was like, they have I've sort of gotten into the advent calendar thing where you do something every day, December 1st to 24th. So I got like this puzzle that's broken up into 48 pieces a day or something. For Disney is selling a pin set. It's an advent calendar pin. So you get a mystery pin each day for 24 days, 24 pins, but it's $249.
Oh, wow.
I was like,
somebody will be buying it.
Yes, but I was like, that's a cool idea, but dang, it's a lot of money, so
never mind. Well, I hear you. I wanted to circle back for just a second because I forgot about this. Right. The initial ticket options for Epic Universe will not require park reservations, it says. I don't know what the reason behind that is. I think they have the park reservations in the back pocket just depending on how this goes, if they feel like they need them.
Right, if it gets too crowded.
Yeah, like if the sales get a little more, little too...
heavy on certain
days. Yeah, yeah, they might start instituting the park reservations, I would think. I think they're kind of not starting it off as really an incentive, more or less. I think that, I got to be honest, I think Universal, anytime they hear somebody complain about something that Disney has done, I think they take note of it, and I think they try to not do
the opposite.
That. Yeah. I mean, for real, I think they pay attention to that sort of thing.
As any good rival should do.
Right.
See what's not working for them and don't do that. Don't do that thing.
And they be honest, what do they have to lose, right? Because they're...
Yeah.
By not doing that.
The Pepsi to the Coke of Disney.
I guess you could say that. Although Pepsi is no longer even the number two soda in the nation. It's now Dr. Pepper.
Yeah.
Pepsi has even fallen behind Dr. Pepper.
But is Pepsi as a company, though? Don't they have, like, all the other drink brands under their umbrella that...
They have a lot, but, I mean, there's actually quite a few that are under Dr. Pepper.
Really? Mm.
Yeah. Dr. Pepper bottles more than just Dr. Pepper. It's its own bottling company.
Interesting.
Yeah. I remember looking long ago at the, Dr. Pepper, what they produced, right?
Yeah.
And then finding out that one of the reasons why, like, say, for instance, in the film Forrest Gump, I remember seeing how every drink that they used in there was either Dr. Pepper or 7-Up.
Right.
And come to find out 7-Up is actually distributed by the Dr. Pepper company.
Yeah, so that makes sense. So it's product placement.
Yeah. Was part of it. And I got to be honest, I felt like there were some other drinks that they introduced that was under the Dr. Pepper bottling company or whatever they call themselves. Here you go. I was just trying to look it up just for the heck of it. They have other products.
Well, I believe you said you had to go pee.
Sorry. Let's see. I think they have Orange Crush and A&W Root Beer as well as 7-Up. So there you go.
Okay. Well,
I know those. There could be more, but I know at least those are included. So there you go. Anyway.
Well, as long as Disney doesn't come out with new Coke, they should be okay for...
That just means that they'll be closing whatever new Coke is. They probably have already done this, so the equivalent of this at some
Euro
point.
Euro Disney? Sorry.
Studios
part?
Yeah. That or the... Star Cruiser.
Well, yeah, Star Cruiser could have been their new Coke. Yeah, it's a good point. It was definitely a new experiment.
Yeah. I don't know. I really think the problem was what they charged more than anything. I really do.
Yeah. And if that's what they had to charge to, like, make a small profit,
they just never should have done it.
Yeah.
That was the case. They should have just left it alone.
Yeah. It's just not... sustainable. But anyway, yeah, we've talked about that.
We have. Yeah, I'm kind of sad that I didn't get to do it once before it closed.
Mm-hmm. We were thinking about, like, we were planning it, but it never, they decided to close it too quickly.
That was another of those things in which the hype died down awfully quick. Like, when it first released, we were, like, watching it and everything. You were like, oh, this would be kind of cool to do.
Yeah.
And it was like, it faded just like, it was like a fleeting moment.
But, yeah, we had to watch that go by. Waved at it as it went by.
I love those moments.
Yeah. There you
I go. Like to wave at them as they pass by.
Exactly. That's what I was trying to get to.
You were trying to do Jack Sparrow.
Lead.
So that brings us basically to our biggest part of the story. Something we're probably going to be able to spend a little bit of time on. The Lightning Lane Premier Pass was officially announced.
Been rumored for a while.
Yeah, before we get into that, though, I mean, this is kind of part of it, but the Vacation Club also announced membership Magic Beyond paid
some extra
benefits for DVC, because it kind of ties into this a little bit, because they announced it the same day, right?
Some of these look interesting, but there's not enough detail yet.
Right. So the cost of membership Magic Beyond is $99 for eligible members. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. I mean, what makes you, or is it not for all members? What's an eligible member, I mean, of DVC?
Well, so, I think it's, have you bought direct from Disney or are you resell points mostly? So if you've...
Yeah, that's true. That's the one thing. See, Disney cannot stop the resale market due to laws. However, that doesn't stop them from... the certain perks,
right?
Them keeping you from those,
right? They can't specifically keep you from buying points from somewhere else, but
right,
you know, they can refuse,
they can incentivize you
extras and bonuses, and yeah,
right,
yeah. If you're strictly resale, then you're not going to be eligible for this, but if you bought some direct from Disney, you probably are, depending on, and is there a point level? Number of points you have to get to have some of these.
But I don't know. Well, it goes on sale December 3rd. And it's okay. valid for January 12th all the way through the end of next year.
Right.
And the enhanced value, purchase specially priced 5-day weekday Walt Disney World theme park tickets with one water park visit included, available for the enrolled member and up to 7 family members living in their household.
Right.
Now, the pricing details are still to come on that one, so we don't have that part yet. So we might be discussing that next week.
Yeah, whenever they release it.
Yeah. Purchase specially priced 3-day weekend Disneyland Resort theme park tickets that include Lightning Link Multipass, available for the enrolled member and up to 7 family members living in their household, once again.
Yeah, weekday tickets at Disneyland, so non-weekend, 3-day. I could see that being
good. They're keeping the weekends out of it.
They don't say the price yet, though, of what.
Nope.
It's a special price. So it could be like $5 off. Who knows?
Yeah. Receive a 30-day Memory Maker entitlement to capture and share treasured Walt Disney World memories. That's up to a $210 value if you've purchased it separately.
That's not bad. I mean, but 30 days from what? That's what I can't. Mm-hmm. Is it like after you get a picture, you have 30 days to?
Oh. Oh, that's a good question.
Or is it just 30 days a year? Like, I don't know.
A little fuzzy, isn't it?
It is a little vague on when and
how
you can use that. But if you take a one trip a year for a week, like that's basically that's all you need. Right? And a lot of people do that.
Yeah. Exclusive access, meet and mingle with Disney characters and Disney at Disney Vacation Club Imaginatrium. That's the lounge at Epcot and Journey in Imagination.
Yeah, the upstairs.
Yep. The enrolled member must have a reservation and be staying on points.
Yeah.
The enrolled member can bring up to 4 guests or the number of guests on their resort stay reservation, whichever is greater, whatever that means. I guess that means you can bring 4 of anybody, but then or the number of guests that are on your reservation.
Whichever is greater. Okay.
Right. Available 7 days a week. Capacity restrictions may apply.
Yeah.
Take advantage of priority access to the Imaginatrium.
You can still get to the lounge if you're not staying on points, but you can't meet the characters, I guess.
Right.
Unless you're staying on points. I don't know where this meet and greet's going to be either, but.
Right.
Got to be some spot. So
there's a new member lounge projected to open in Magic Kingdom Park called Disney Vacation Club Starview Station. It could be used for that too. Same thing.
That's good to know.
This one was interesting. Use your points to purchase the Disney Sorcerer Pass to enjoy the Walt Disney World theme parks.
So you can use points for tickets instead of just using them for stays. Interesting.
Which I think the Sorcerer Pass is the only one you can buy as DVC anyway, right? Which is, that one's like less than $1,000, I think.
Yeah, sure.
And then you can get one bonus, one time use for each one time use point purchased. Members can purchase up to 12 points for a total of 24 one-time use points in the use year. Enjoy having your $95 transaction fee waived when booking the Disney Collection Resorts. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah.
And experiences, including Adventures by Disney, Disney Cruise Lines, and National Geographic Expeditions experiences.
Right.
Okay.
So for $99, I think it's worth it for most of these. We'll see,
Right, you pay $100 basically, and then you get these other perks with it. But you have the ability to use points to buy your Sorcerer Pass, which I don't know. It could make sense for some people.
Yeah, it could. Right? Yeah, because some people always end up with points left over, or sometimes.
Right.
So
especially if people have some points banked right now.
Yeah, might as well. Right, if you don't,
I could use it for that. I mean, of course, how many points would that really be? I mean, if it's equal to the.
It's $9.99, by the way, for the Sorcerer Pass.
Yeah, but if it's equal to the dollar value for the points, it's not really that many points, right?
Yeah.
If it's equal to the dollar amount.
Yeah, so.
You would think it would have to be close for it to be worth it.
2 or 3 nights of some stay, so I don't know, 50, 60 points maybe at the most.
Yeah. So anyway, the biggest one, of course, which I was leading into, which we kind of mentioned in the previous one, was the Lightning Lane Premier Pass, how it's been officially announced for Walt Disney World and Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the new Skip the Line offering. in the latest in the evolution of skip the line procedure for Disney World. It's been like an ever-evolving process ever since they did the paper tickets about 25 years ago now.
Yeah.
Coming up on 25 years ago.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They have an option for the in-between VIP tour and regular multi-pass. So
yeah, so but the VIP tour was super expensive, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah, totally. It can be insanely expensive.
But at least you get, you know, carte blanche basically on
the
Disney the VIP World tour. I'll take you wherever you want.
There's obviously no limit on you want to ride one ride 100 times. So if you can do it in the amount of time you have,
you can ride Space Mountain till you throw up.
Exactly. If you wanted to do that, you could do it. But with this, some of the restrictions are a little bit, I don't love, especially for the amount of money you're going to be shelling out for this.
Yeah.
And currently it's only for deluxe resort guests and villas.
Yes, that's something we'll get to here. So that's fine. Lightning Lane Premier Pass will be offered in very limited quantities and will give guests one-time entry to each available Lightning Lane entrance in the theme park they're visiting that day.
Right.
This includes attractions included in both Lightning Lane Multipass and Single Pass.
Right.
So that was one thing different is you get both, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But with Lightning Lane Premier Pass, guests do not need to select an experience time. So basically you just show up.
Sure. Whenever you want. That's the big perk of this, obviously, is you're going to pay a lot more, but just walk
up. Now, my question with that is you show up to the whatever the Lightning Lane line is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like you still may have a short wait, just like you do with regular Lightning Lane?
Yeah, you're not going to walk right on the ride, but you'll get in the Lightning Lane whenever
it'll
you want.
Just about like walking on for most.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and you don't have to pick a time. That's one thing. That would be very tempting, right?
That's the big advantage until you look at the price.
Right. This does not affect, by the way, any Lightning Lane single pass or Lightning Lane multipass. Just so you know. So at Walt Disney World, which is the main one we go to, of course, it's only going to be available to Disney Deluxe or Deluxe Villa Resorts and maybe purchase up to 7 days in advance of their stay, kind of like what they've gone to with the others, right? It will be valid for use in only one park of the guest choice per day.
Yeah.
And it's first going to be available October 30th.
Yeah. So just to throw this in, you know, the deluxe resorts and villas, but also Swan Dolphin, Swan Reserve, and Shades of Green are included in this too, by the way. Just to...
Okay.
They are a part of it.
And they gave you an idea... The average price per night for the cheapest of these is still in the neighborhood of, what, $450 at least, right?
Yeah, I see here the... So Magic Kingdom obviously is the most expensive. The price range is $329 to $449 per person, plus tax. So you're talking... almost $500 a person.
To be able to get that.
You know, Christmas week or whatever is going to be the $449.
Right.
Per person.
You had a question if that would be worth it.
Yeah. Magic Kingdom, you have more attractions, but I don't know. So Epcot is $169 to $249 per person.
Like, this is on top of,
like I said,
spending.
Yeah.
A minimum of $500 a night.
Right, yeah. For the
at a deluxe resort.
Yeah.
On top of this, to be able to just to be able to have the privilege to buy this.
Right. So they must think that there are more potential revenue out of people who are staying in deluxe resorts to get more than just what they're getting for the multi-pass.
I guess.
Right.
That's what it sounds like.
So they feel like the money's there for this.
I feel like Disney is dividing by class more than they ever have in the past.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Because this is a lot for this kind of perk. $269 to $349 per person is Hollywood Studios' price range, depending on the day. So the lowest you'll pay is $269 per person at Hollywood Studios. Animal Kingdom.
Plus tax.
Yeah, I know. Plus tax. Animal Kingdom is the cheapest, of course, because it has the least amount to do. $129 to $199.
Right.
I don't think I would pay $129 per person to be able to ride Flight of Passage once whenever I wanted.
Yeah.
And Everest once and Safari once.
It doesn't have enough things to really even bother doing even the less than that, you know, the $129 per person or whatever, you know.
Right.
It's a little expensive for what you get out of it. Especially if we're doing it once, like you say. If it was unlimited, like, say, the Universal Express Pass.
Right. Yeah.
The Unlimited Express Pass that you get when you get a deluxe resort over there.
Yep.
Now, you do pay the $500 a night like I was talking about, but it's included then. You don't have to pay included. This on top of it.
Yeah, it's not on top of what you're already paying. Yeah.
Right? So, and you can do it as many times as you want, whatever ride as many times as you want.
The fact
so
it's that
not
you
comparable.
Can't park hop. Right. The fact that you can't park hop.
Yeah, I was going to say, because that's the other thing. You could do that. The Express Pass over at Universal is good for both of the parks. Now, I assume it's going to be the same, of course, when Epic Universe opens, that it'll include all three.
Well, yeah, they. Who knows? At first, they might be more limited because of that. Who knows? But
I was just saying that's what they followed in. That's the way they've done it so far. Theirs
so far,
was, you know, this price, you get it included with deluxe resort stays. You actually had an option to pay for it, though, at the other resorts. So,
yeah.
The Express Pass. You don't even have an option here at Disney.
Right. I don't love the prices in terms of what I would want to do. But, you know, the multi-pass is still there, and single pass is still there.
Right.
So it's not going away.
It's the middle class option is still there.
Yeah, right. So that's basically what it's become is the middle class option of, you know, paying the $30, $40 a day, $20 a day on the low end, I guess, for the option to pick and choose times. You know, you have to be
right
the way we do it now. And because it's going to be so limited, I don't anticipate the multi-pass to be so unavailable all the time. I mean, it's hard enough to get them as is. I mean, until you know how to do it and know how to work the same day fast passes and stuff, or lightning lanes, whatever. So I guess it's filling a need of, you know, the people who complain about nothing's ever available and you can't ever get the rides you want in the current system.
Okay.
You got to pay like 10 times more.
Well, the whole nothing's ever available is not true.
Yeah.
You just got to work for it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't really have to work that hard for it, but you have to work for it a little bit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you do have to put in some effort.
I feel like Disney has this habit of just making, I mean, of course, this may be tweaked a little bit over time. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm sure it will be.
I feel like Disney has this habit of just making things overly complex for people that are supposedly going to be going on vacation.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you don't feel very much as on vacation when you're having to constantly, like, book things, you know? It's like, it's not all just taken care of, right? You're having to constantly book things or look for things or what have you, and it doesn't feel that much like a vacation. Now, some people thrive off doing that, trying to find things. It's almost like a rush.
Yeah.
Trying to find lightning lanes, right?
Right.
Well, to a degree, it is.
I got to say, I do enjoy it, yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. To a degree, it is a little bit of a, like, almost like a game, like that you're trying to beat the system.
It's a challenge, in a way.
Yeah.
Speaking of challenge, I'm assuming Parkeology is not going to, I mean, they might accept it as a caveat or whatever, but.
Well, I can tell you the response that I saw, the brothers who we've had as guests on here.
Yeah.
They had actually tweeted something about it prior to
It would feel like cheating, probably.
Yeah, prior to looking into it a little more, they actually tweeted something. Let's see if I can find that tweet.
And the question would be, because you can only do one park per day, you would assume Magic Kingdom would be the one you'd use it at, so that you just walk on every, like, get in the Lightning Lane line for everything.
Yeah. So when they first saw it, Parkeology's response was, we have not looked into it, but our initial reaction is twofold. We put one, what's the fun in that? Who cares?
Right. Exactly.
This was never meant to be about special access to see rides.
Exactly.
It's meant to be a challenge.
Right.
That's the name. And then he says, two, it probably falls in the same group as VIP tours, which we have never allowed.
And, so, right. I figured Parkeology would be like, every ride would probably accept it as a possibility of, you know, which they put it as a separate category if you use like an extra thing like the,
you know. And of course you have people that point out it all comes down to Disney making you pay for something that they used to give you free, which essentially is true.
But they've never offered it where you
like
don't
this.
Have to pick times.
No.
Yeah, this is a little different, but it's the price is, you know, outrageous, which is probably fine because they're trying to, how the question is going to end up being, is this going to impact standby? Probably. Is it going to impact the availability of multi-pass availability throughout the day? Probably,
right,
to some degree, but probably less so than standby. Obviously, that's the one that's going to be always impacted the most. And then the availability of multi-pass times will probably be slightly reduced, because depending on how many of these get sold throughout the, you know, depending on the day. And then this obviously would be the most, you'd get the most access to,
mm-hmm,
you know, whatever. So
essentially, though, you could walk up and do a park like, if you're willing to pay, a park like Magic Kingdom. Being able to walk right onto literally everything there is a pretty big advantage, because they have so many more rides.
Right. Although, you know, if you're doing a challenge run, though, there's so many that currently, Riverboat, like Carousel of Progress, People Mover, there's several that, you know, Astro Orbiter, that don't even have Lightning Lane that you have to.
Right.
You'll still have
right.
to figure out a few things of how to do them.
But when you think about this, I know you talked about people complaining about not being able to get certain things, right? Is it going to be worth, let's just say, $400 per person plus tax?
Yeah.
To only get those handful of things that are hard to get, because really the rest of them aren't that bad.
Right. If you're talking $450 at Magic Kingdom, you know,
you're talking basically Tron and Mine Train.
Right. And Peter Pan, maybe, and, you know, Tiana's, stuff like that. Whereas today, you could probably spend $50 and get all those in a day.
Yeah.
Right? But you got to work a little bit more at it. But for $450 more dollars, or $400 more dollars, you can not have to worry about it. And you can also get on Barnstormer.
And as I've stated here recently, Tron, I don't think it's gonna continue to be not that bad of a line.
Right.
I mean, weight-wise.
But you could also pay $20 and do the same thing for $500 that you're getting for $449 or $329.
Right.
Penny.
Right.
So,
Mine Train, I've never understood why it's as long as it is now still. I mean, at this point, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun, but it's not that fun.
Right.
I mean,
and then Peter Pan, I think the problem,
it's always been popular.
Yeah.
And I you know, it's funny. I enjoy it too, but when I go in, after I go through it, I'm like, why is this as long as it is? This is as long a line as it is.
Capacity is really it, but.
Well, I mean, there's plenty of things that don't have great capacity that don't have lines because they're not as popular.
Right.
But
I feel like it makes more sense at Hollywood Studios than anywhere else.
You think so?
Even though the price
because of the price?
Well, the price point is still high, $269 to $349. It's the second highest tier, of the four. But
because you get to walk on right on Rise and Tower and Rock
and Slinky Dog and Runaway Railway and Toy Story Mania all can get hour plus waits on a crowded day. So, you know, if you paid the $40 per person,
I think the Epcot one could end up being a good value after Test Track opens.
Perhaps, but again, you're essentially paying the $170 to $250 for four or five rides. Like, you can ride Ratatouille.
You don't have to do Guardians separate, right? Guardians is included. So you have Guardians, Ratatouille, Frozen, and Test Track. Here's the thing. It's basically the same things you're paying for. You're paying for four rides. It's basically the same thing you're paying for in Magic Kingdom for less money, because you're paying for four rides there just like you're in Magic Kingdom.
Right. But if you paid for all four of these a la carte, it would still be less than the $250 you'd pay per person.
Well, with some of them, it's not as easy to get a la carte. Guardian still has the free option of the boarding group.
Right.
Currently. So there's that.
If you get an early boarding group, or, you know, even if you don't, I mean, you can show up whenever you want for that one.
Right.
It's never that bad of a wait. But if you show up early, you walk right on, basically. Yeah. Well, into the first.
I mean, obviously, every day somebody's missing out on a boarding group, but your chances of getting one if you're there right at the time that it's released are really good.
Right. But even still, the 1 p.m., I can't imagine it's hard to get the 1 p.m. drop either. So,
well, it's probably easier.
Yeah.
Well, now though, with only two to compete for, it's probably a little more difficult than it was, say, back when Toronto was still on it too.
Maybe.
Even though we're talking about two different parks.
Right. I think it was inevitable that they would do this, but I don't see it being, I mean, personally, I don't see the value in it at the price point they're charging for it.
Somebody will.
Definitely. They're going to sell this. There's no doubt they're going to sell this, because the convenience factor of not having to select the times and you just kind of go in and do what you want is alluring to a lot of people who just have the money to burn. But for me,
They're spending their once in a lifetime.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
vacation.
It's worth that. Yeah. Personally, I don't, it's not worth it for me, because we know how to use the other one better, so.
Right, as long as the other one is still gameable, we'll say.
Good point, yeah. If this impacts it significantly, then it's going to be an issue. But
And to be quite honest, Disney, from what I've seen, sometimes they're pretty close, but from what I've seen, Disney has had a bad habit lately of inflating the wait times in the standby line. And I think it's on purpose. I think it's to encourage people to buy multipass, to be honest with you.
I think they're...
I think there's a little bit of that being tweaked on purpose.
Yeah.
I think they inflated just a little bit.
Yeah, I think they have been. I think we've seen the stats on that to prove that, especially early on and late, they inflate the wait times. We all knew they did that. Anyway.
Well, just, you know, because looking at third-party apps that measure these things, right? Sometimes there's a pretty significant difference between what Disney says the wait is and what the actual wait is.
Right.
Depending on certain times of the day.
Yeah, they almost always err on the side of...
Especially at the end of the day, they're going to err on the side of...
Of course.
Of too much, because they're trying to keep people out of the line, I think.
Right. They've always done that, to try and keep the line as short. Towards the end of the day,
yeah. I mean, there's certain attractions I've always said, if you really just want to get on it at a decent wait and not have to pay, just go in the last hour.
Yeah.
I mean,
especially pretty much Rise.
Rise and Mine Train, really, I think both are the same thing.
I've still waited like 45 minutes for Mine Train at the end of the night because, it's just what people...
It'd be significantly less than what it's posted.
Possibly.
Most of the time.
Possibly, yeah. Usually. Anyway, so people will pay it. We knew it was coming. It's finally here, so.
Yeah, they talked about it. When they first announced it, I was kind of hoping it would be a little more similar to what Universal does, but since it's not,
Of course, Disney has to be different and more expensive.
Different in a bad way in this case.
Right. Again, not getting as much out of it. Yeah.
Right, right. Exactly. So, all right. Well, I think that wraps up this episode of Traveling with a Mouse. So you can find us on Facebook, X, and Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store still, which you can get our exclusive TWTM merchandise at shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM Podcast. We also have a YouTube channel, which you can go find our episodes there, as well as footage, both classic and a little more recent Disney footage in the parks. Where can you find that, Adam?
Our website, which is travelingwiththemouse.com. You can email us podcast at travelingwiththemouse.com. And links to all those things and more are there.
So for Adam, my name is John. This has been Traveling with a Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.